Well, we really started off this film trying to understand what happens after incarceration. And we began by following actually 10 people in the state of Connecticut. We were interested in Connecticut because it's a state where the prison population is dropping, and also it's a state that has a very outspoken and, I believe, sincere, as played out over the course of this film, commitment to transparency and showing how their processes work and opening up the doors so that we as a society can understand how the criminal justice system works. And over the course of this filming, we began to understand just how enormously influential parole is and the process of being supervised on parole is to the success or failure of individuals coming out of incarceration. You know, most people who are released from a prison term have some sort of parole, some period of supervision, and the way in which they're supervised can greatly influence their chances of success.
So what was being implemented in Connecticut? Was there an old parole system and then they were implementing something new? What was the situation there?
Well, as one parole officer said to me, I think that the traditional idea of parole is a bit of a trail them, nail them, jail them. That people are given a set of strictures by which they're measured, ranging from a prohibition on alcohol, no contact orders with other people who have been convicted of crimes, to curfews. And then if the parole officer found someone in violation of those strictures, they would send them back behind bars. And that was the traditional way that parole worked. I think what's changing is that parole officers are more and more seen in the full complexity of the services they provide and the job that they do. Of course, they have a primacy of public safety. And to a person, that's what every parole officer and every person in the Department of Corrections in Connecticut will talk about, public safety. But parole officers are also asked to be drug counselors, housing advocates, psychologists to a certain degree, in addition to their sort of prosecutorial and more traditionally criminal justice roles. It's the individual that is representing the state in that particular parolee's life at that point in time. And they have an enormous amount of power and an enormous amount of discretion.
And on the flip side, you follow four parolees in this film.
Yes, we followed four different parolees coming out of very different circumstances. Some people who are coming off of a almost 10-year sentence for assault with a deadly weapon, someone else coming off of an armed robbery charge, and then two individuals who have been in and out of the criminal justice system for most of their lives. And it shows, I think, the breadth of different circumstances that people are coming out of incarceration facing. And when you look at the crimes that people have either been convicted of or pled to, and you compare that to how they play out and who they are and who they present as, I think you'll be surprised. One of the things in this program that I was surprised by is that sometimes the people with the crimes that are scariest on paper do best when they come back out.
What do you see when these parolees, they come out? What are they faced with? What's confronting them once they are let out of prison? And how do they navigate the waters of a job and family and all these other things that we all take for granted and is a typical day in the life of? What does a parolee struggle with every day?
Well, I think you see the challenges of reconnecting with family. The challenges of finding a job, a conviction is a black mark on any resume if people choose to include it. The challenges of finding housing. Many of these parolees are going back to situations and communities where they were at risk to begin with in terms of economically at the bottom of the ladder and with insecure housing, insecure food, and they're thrown right back in that and expected to also, on top of living day-to-day life, comply with a number of strictures that come from parole. And it's extremely challenging. And it's how those strictures are enforced. And I think that you see play out in the film the relationships where some parole officers are like coaches who are really working hard to improve the lives of the individuals underneath their care. And that coaching can seem harsh at times, and it can seem soft at times, but different people react to different things.
So what did you learn here? What does society need to do as far as supporting these parolees when they come out? And then what does the parolee need to do? What type of ownership should the parolee take part in as they venture back out and become a part of society?
I think that the key to success is, of course, inside the individual parolee. I mean, that it takes tenacity and it takes grit to succeed against these odds. So you need to have a personal commitment to success. And then when you look at the greater system, I would say that it's all of our responsibility, and our responsibility is manifest through these parole officers and the system as it is implemented in their lives, to give these men and women their best chance to become tax-paying citizens instead of a drain on society. Because if you have someone cycling in and out of incarceration, committing new crimes, it's a huge personal impact and a huge economic impact. And if the individuals aren't dangerous, I would think that we would want them to be paying taxes and contributing to our community in some way.
Director Matt O'Neill, the Frontline film is Life on Parole. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me on.